Good morning, and welcome to Food for Thought with Dixie Burmeister. And now, here's Dixie.
And it's so great to be back on this Saturday, the next to last Saturday in July. Can you believe that? I can believe it, and I'm sure you can't believe it. I mean, I can believe it. I'm looking at my guests because the Palisade Peach Festival is looming in the future, near future, that is. So, but welcome back to Food for Thought, 1100 KNZZ AM, 92.7 FM. And don't forget to check out Food for Thought Facebook page. I have a little note about my guests, and I also, well, I'm just going to say, maybe this will get you. You know how this is Christmas in July? Well, you can't build a snowman. So I went out and was picking some of my peaches. See, I have peaches on them. Tomatoes, which I'm going to make a fresh salsa tonight, and I want to get these guys' opinion about it. But I went out, and I had varying sizes of tomatoes. So I made a tomato man with rosemary arms and a time hat makes it look a little whimsical. So you got to go and check him out. So, like, you know, no snowmen now, but since we're celebrating Christmas in July with peaches and tomatoes and all those good things. So, yeah, I had fun. I was looking at those tomatoes and I see something. And it's food art, I think you would call that. And so there I went. Today, National Margarita Day, National Tequila Day. Oh, my guests are already ready to jump in here. Here I'm laughing. Good day, did the treadmill, got the dishwasher emptied, picked up some more tomatoes for that salsa. Just want to give you one shout out. You know, the Peach Festival is August 20th and 21st, and with the ice cream social the night before. We could use more volunteers at the Peach Festival. It's a t-shirt. It's a weekend pass to the festival. Go to iVolunteer and then look up the Palisade Peach Festival. And you can click in there and you can click on what you would like to help with. And there's so many things you can do. And so please check that out because, you know, who doesn't need a lot of volunteers now and employees as we're learning? So, but I was able to pull my peach cuisine with Colorado chefs together, and I have two of them here with me today. Good friends and good chefs and lots of fun. Dave Casera, does that name sound familiar to you all? Used to be the chef at Wine Country Inn. Has quite a history. We'll learn a little bit about it and about our other chef here. And, you know, this guy had, in his future, he was thinking of retirement and fishing. Well, guess what? His future is now here. However, much to my surprise, just like a day ago, I learned we were going to have Pear Blossom Farms at one of our chef presentations. And they said, well, we're going to have Chef Dave do this one. And I go, Chef Dave. Well, I know a Chef Dave, but I don't know if it's the same one. Of course, it couldn't be. Yep, it sure is. And right. Here you are. So delighted we're going to find out. So I'm hearing that, you know, I want to get your feelings on retirement here because you are retired and you're fishing, but you are also out there in the world. And my other guest, gosh, I've known him since he was a little kid. His dad, a very good friend, and mom, very good friend, co-worker. We used to work together on so many projects in my grocery career and afterwards at Peach Recipe Contest and all kinds of things like that, health fairs, you name it. We were there dishing out those good healthy foods and serving up. And Matt Tizak. Welcome, guys. Matt and Dave, couldn't be happier. Come here. Okay, you guys.
Thank you.
Tell us, first of all, why you are happy to be a Peach Cuisine chef. And you know, I've got a sharp object here, so you better be nice, Dave.
Well, there are no better peaches.
Amen.
You know, I have family that lives in the South, and they talk about Georgia peaches, and, you know.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than having a little friendly competition back and forth.
Absolutely.
And everybody can pick their own, but uh-huh. Here is where they're at, the best peaches.
And you couldn't ignore or, you know, leave the festival alone and all that fun at Peach Cuisine?
No, I couldn't. The festivals are just that. They're festive, they're fun, they're a great way to mingle. And, you know, we all need to do that in these times.
Well, you know what you're doing? You're helping to support our growers. And Lord knows, after last year, they need everybody to come and buy those peaches.
They do. The economy is a very important part of it. And the product that they produce in the entire valley, you just can't touch it.
You couldn't resist throwing a peach recipe together, could you? Because I mean, how many years did I bug you? Get your recipe to me. And Matt Tezak, jump in here. I kind of bug you too, don't I?
Yeah, I think it's exciting just because I like to see all the different unique recipes that everybody does, you know, whether it be sweet and savory or a blend of all of them. I mean, it's fun to have that little competition between the different chefs that show up, and it's fun to socialize, and I too think it's important that, you know, we support the local farmers. I mean, this, you know, especially now, but you know, it's cool to see all the different culinary advances these days in the world, and everybody's wanting to cook more at home. So, you know, it just really gives the people that attend and people that see the different recipes just a better idea of what they can and can't do with peaches and different flavor profiles and things like that.
What is it about the Palisade peach that really stands out? Because we have, you know, I even said it on the Food Network that I was sorry, Georgia, but we have the best peaches. And then Georgia people came up and they said, guess what? And I was nervous because they approached me at the festival. They said, you're absolutely right. What is it, do you think?
One of you. Either of you.
So for me, I think that it's the sweetness of the peach. I mean, I've had Georgia peaches, I've had Palisade peaches, and just the difference, it's the climate, right? It's the climate that really produces the peaches here in the Grand Valley. You know, hot days, cool evenings, just the soil content is completely different than peaches grown in other places of the country. And so I think the peaches are sweeter than Georgia peaches. I think Georgia
and
peaches,
California.
Right, yeah. And I think Georgia peaches might be a little bit bigger. But I think the flavor is completely different. It's kind of like grapes, right? I mean, grapes, depending on the grapes that we grow here in the Grand Valley are different compared to all over the country. So it's pretty much the same type of thing.
Your thoughts, Dave?
I would agree 100% on the terroir, the climate, the soil and water combinations. And, you know, how about a little love thrown in there? Oh. You know, it's the,
amen
the
to
people
that
take care of things here. True. And how they do how they tend to the orchards and what happens. It produces crops unlike anywhere else.
The generations, oh my gosh, of peach growers, we're on sixth and seventh generations. And then, I've mentioned this on the show before, but how our established families who have been here for years are so more than happy to mentor the new ones that have come into the valley to grow peaches, young families. And young people, and there's just a feeling about that. And I agree with you, the love and the hard work. And when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about your, of course, dishes, but we're not revealing too much. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Snyder Grand Valley Memorials, where family is in the heart of everything we do. Caring for since 1929, Snyder Grand Valley Memorials, where family is in the heart of everything we do.
Visit SnyderGrandValleyMemorials.com. Diesel engines aren't just for the big rigs. Do you drive a diesel pickup or know someone who does? It can be hard to find reliable service and maintenance. High Horsepower Diesel is your answer. Their certified techs do everything from routine maintenance to major overhauls, performance mods, and upgrades with trusted parts and top brands, all in a friendly, family-run shop. And now they've opened a second location in Grand Junction. Let High Horsepower Diesel keep you rolling. Visit them online at highhorsepowerdiesel.com.
At Mobility Driven, a lot of our clients have very active lifestyles, biking, hiking, skiing, fishing, and hunting. We can put hand controls in UTVs. We can modify trucks. We have a couple of different camper vans that we've done. Our focus is mobility and maintaining that lifestyle, doing all of those things that you want to do. Contact Mobility Driven, 970-712-1435, because your mobility should never be limited by your ability.
Hi, this is Jamie from the Brickyard. Did you know that we now sell flooring? The newest trend in flooring products is luxury vinyl tile, or LVT. We carry many colors and styles in stock. With a beautiful display in our showroom, we can show you just how it will look inside your home. We also have a huge selection of thin brick and stone for your bedroom wall or kitchen backsplash. Come see what we have. That's the Brickyard on the Business Loop in Grand Junction or North Townsend in Montrose. Or visit us online at BrickyardColorado.com. Now open Saturdays from 9 to 3.
Has your child swallowed your medicine, your laundry detergent, your nail polish remover? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you inhaled paint thinner, glue, pesticides? Call the Poison Helpline. Have a question about a dose, a fume, something your kid just drank? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. The majority of victims know their attacker. It could be your friend, your neighbor, or someone you met at a party. If you said no, it's rape, and it's a crime. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline today at 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Fear is healthy. A rational amount of fear is a gift.
Glenn Beck.
As long as it's rational.
Weekday mornings at 7. KNZZ.
Good morning and welcome to Food for Thought with Dixie Burmeister. And now, here's Dixie.
Here I am back at 1100 KNZZ AM 92.7 FM, which is so much fun to be on AM and FM, and we're a podcast, and we got these two guys here, Matt Tizak, chef extraordinaire, been all over serving fabulous dishes, and the pictures you post, that is really not fair. It really isn't, because salivation happens immediately, Matt.
I try to make you hungry.
you do. Now, tell us a little bit about your career right now.
Yeah, so I actually, well, sales is my real job, so I am the director of sales for ReadyWise. We do emergency survival products. We do adventure meals, so for, you know, backcountry camping, hiking, hunting, wow, things like that. So I travel all over the country and sell our different products to retailers, so I'm still in the grocery business for 27 years.
And not bad for a guy who's only 33 or 34, right?
Exactly. Okay. I started when I was a baby.
Yes, I did too. Isn't that? I know Dave will tell you the same thing. But I saw that you're into recipe development as well.
Yeah.
I keep seeing all your new ideas that you pop up with.
Well, I try to stay up on top of trends and, you know, different culinary trends that are happening and plating trends and things like that, you know, because I still do private sessions for clients and private cooking classes and things like that. So it's my hobby. I mean, it's my passion and hobby and, you know, tying everything together with hunting and fishing and all of that that's my love, really.
I remember the salmon dish you did for Peach Cuisine in 2019. I always talk about last year, you know, everybody does that because they're thinking back to 2019, you know, before everything hit. And That was so good. And Dave, yeah. I snuck from you some marinade when for the last time you did one. And you, and of course, Dave and I have done also honeybee festivals and that kind of thing too as well. And you had some. You said, "Here, do you want this?" And I go, "Yes." And so, and then it turned out you left another one that had a little bit more in it. And did I bring it back to you?
Well, of course not.
Of course not. Thank you. And you understand, and you won't arrest me or anything.
No, not at all.
So I used the one, and my family goes, "Oh my gosh!" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, you know." and then I found the other one the other day, and so we are going to be using that. But you see, I sometimes try to, you know, borrow little things or tastes as well. Yes, but I have to taste to make sure it's safe for our visitors at the festival. It's, you know, it's my job. Okay, so tell
us. It's a tough job, but yeah. Somebody gets to do it.
I know it. Yeah. And you have always come up with fabulous dishes. Absolutely. The crowd loves both of you guys. So give us a little bit of history. You've been with Wine Country Inn.
I've been in the Valley for about 18 years. Mm-hmm. I bounced around a little bit when I first got started, and then I spent, I was actually working with the Talley family when they built Wine Country Inn.
Wow.
And then I took a little break and went mm-hmm. somewhere else and did a few other things mm-hmm. and expanded my horizons, and then came back, and I was there for 4 or 5 years mm-hmm. before I tried to retire.
I remember that. We all go, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And that lasted about 2 weeks before I found that I had to go back to earning a paycheck. And now just recently,
mm-hmm. yes,
I've tried to retire again.
Yes, you did.
And this time I'm going to make it stick, because I only have 2 part-time jobs that I'm working right now.
So 2 part-time jobs.
2 part-time jobs.
2. I know of one. Yeah, you know, but now, and so that's why when I said I needed your bio update for once I found out we were going to get to you, you go, "Hey, I'm retired." And so I have taken the freedom to change your bio a little bit and add a little bit, which is kind of fun to do.
Well, yeah.
And I, you know, I'm thinking he trusts me. I don't have to run it by him. I'll do the spell check.
There you go. So, but the one that brings me here today,
yes. mm-hmm.
and back involved with Peach Cuisine,
mm-hmm.
Pear Blossom Farms.
Yes.
I have teamed up with them, and we're actually going to do a Palisade Peach reunion in advance of the festival.
Yes, I am anxious to hear about that.
And we're going to have some stands up at the Palisade at Pear Blossom Farms.
And where is that located?
East Orchard Mesa, C and a Half Road, I think.
That's all right. I got it here.
Good. I'm glad.
C Road. You keep talking while I find it. Okay.
But on August 7th, on a Saturday, we're going to have some samplings and pairing some things with fantastic products that are produced by the Welcher family and have been
and they're
for
good.
30 years.
Mm-mm-mm.
Oh, they're delicious.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I used a lot of their product at Wine Country Inn when I was the chef.
You know what? I remember that.
Into,
so
a number of things.
This is just a normal transition for you.
It is.
Yeah, right.
But we're inviting people up to the farm to get reacquainted with the wonderful flavor of the Palisade peach. So.
Absolutely, a precursor to the big peach festival.
Right.
Wouldn't you say that? Yes.
I would, yeah.
Yes. I love the peach jalapeno sauce.
The hot sauce.
Yeah,
the
yeah, I love that.
Hot
I love
sauce.
That. But they have a lot of good things. And so once again, that's going to take place.
Saturday, August 7th,
uh-huh.
9 a.m. to 1 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
and we'll have samplings of about 5 or 6 different items, mm. the star of which will be Palisade peaches.
Well, should be. Now, Matt, you might want to buzz out there, and I bet you've probably sampled some of these products.
I have, and yeah, that sounds awesome. I might have to come out there. It's hunting season soon, so.
Uh-oh, of course. You know, I think your dad might have even been, when I first started with City Market and I was planning this big thing, And I said, and I've got this October, first week of October date. And everybody at the meeting looked at me like, don't you know? Hunting season. And I soon learned that you schedule things around that, because this is huge in this area. Yeah. Hunting and fishing, Dave, is, as you know. And so you've tied that love into numerous of dishes. And of course, you worked for, was it High Country Appliance?
Mountain High.
As a chef and working with all of those fabulous appliances that you must have had fun doing. But
awesome.
But so you grew up actually cooking with wild game.
Yeah, I learned cooking wild game from, both my grandparents and my parents, and just continued to kind of take it to a different level. Of course, my cooking wild game is different than their cooking wild game.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, it's
I'm all good, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's more.
Raising
it's
the
on
bar.
A different scale. Yeah, raising. I mean, you know, not burnt, crisp and fried.
Yes.
It's smoked, roasted and baked or some sous vide or something, you know. So totally different.
Or doing something so it tastes like chicken.
Exactly. Yeah, not covered in all kinds of breadings and sauces and different things. So, yeah.
We're lucky you guys have such good voices, deep voices, because Mark, they are carrying well over the air, right? So I'm the one that has to grab the mic. Of course, they always say you can never get a mic out of Dixie's hand anyway. So, but
we're gonna be here all day.
Yeah, we would like to.
Yeah,
I mean, so what is your? I don't want you to tell people are going. Okay, he's talking a lot about wild game, so we're not going to say which item you're using. But what are you trying to do with this dish that you're going to be presenting at Peach Cuisine? I can tell you this, everybody. Good. And remember, Dave and Matt and our other chefs, what they get up there on stage with the mirror over top, and we got two fans for you this this year to blow the cooler air on you. And the audience loves it because they learn things. They get to ask you questions when you're up there. We're working on a good sound system right now. And then, in addition, I'll have one of our Safeway guys out with a handheld mic, and they'll pick up on questions in the audience, and I'll be up to assist you in any way I can. Sometimes when that one mic died, I literally was holding the mic in front of everybody's mouth just so they could talk and cook. And then the audience gets to sample the dish, which is so important, and they love, of course. And then they want the recipe. Well, we've got it all for you because on one side of the card, we have your picture. Yes, you are our stars. And your bios. And yes, some bios have been tweaked a little bit. And then on the other side is the recipe. And, of course, what has to be in the recipe in all of those recipes?
Peaches. Palisade peaches.
Palisade peaches, you bet. Now, guys, is it kind of difficult? What I like is, you know, you can't have all chefs doing sweet. But I think people are discovering more and more how they can incorporate the peach, and it's, and it adds such a wonderful flavor to sweet, savory, all savory dish. I mean, it's sweet and savory because you add the peach regardless. Do you see that, Dave, that there are people are more adventurous?
They are, and one of the things that has developed thanks to television cooking shows.
Amen. I agree.
Is people understand the multi-layers of flavors, that when you initially taste something, something comes through, and then as you're chewing it and savoring it, other flavors develop, and then after you swallow, you actually take the time to appreciate the flavors that remain, as opposed to just shoveling it in as fast as you can for nutrition.
Umami, right?
I was just going to say
umami.
Explain what umami is.
Umami is really that salty, sweet, savory, tangy, bitter, everything that your mouth and your taste buds crave. So that's your It's everything that keeps you coming back for more. So like you take a bite of something and you just want more and more of it.
Absolutely. I think when you eat something and you savor the flavor for quite a while afterwards, you're going, this is really good. And Dave, I think you're right too. Taking the time to enjoy the bite and savor it. And I think we all three agree. We have one segment. No, we're doing okay. Great. Don't go away. We'll be back.
Grand Valley Bank's Payback Checking Account pays you back. Do you have a subscription to Netflix, Amazon, Disney Plus, Hulu, SiriusXM, Roku, or Spotify? Let Grand Valley Bank refund your bank service charge each month. Plus, earn up to $10 towards select streaming services. Maintain a $200 balance and meet other transaction requirements during your statement cycle, and Grand Valley Bank pays you back. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Visit GrandValleyBank.com.
Heating and cooling, anytime, day or night, or emergency, call A1 to get your fix at 625-2136. A1 Heating and Cooling, comfort you deserve.
1100 KNZZ, dependable weather.
Chance of thunderstorms, breezy, partly cloudy overnight. Grand Junction 68, Montrose 60. Mostly sunny tomorrow, chance of thunderstorms 94. Still a chance on Monday, 95.
There's plenty of yard work to go around this time of year, so you probably have gasoline stored somewhere around your home, maybe improperly. Hi, this is Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about how to store gas safely right after this. If you're re-roofing your home, you want something that's durable, low maintenance, and of course, a value. So why not choose a quality metal roof that can last 50 plus years? Metal roofs are strong and durable, even in severe climates. And because a metal roof reduces maintenance, saves energy, and can last up to 3 times longer than other roofing, it's the definition of a great value. The Metal Roofing Alliance has created a buyer's guide that walks you through the process of buying a quality metal roof. It's available for free at metalroofing.com. Homeowners depend on small engines to do a lot of jobs around the house, so storing gasoline is a necessity, but it's something that should be done with great care. Gasoline is one of the most flammable and dangerous liquids around. Its vapors are completely invisible, very heavy, and can travel from room to room without anyone knowing. That's why you should never store gasoline in your basement or inside your home. Always keep gasoline cool, completely sealed in an approved safety container and out of the reach of children. A garage will work, but an outside storage building is even better. Approved containers should already be labeled gasoline, but if you also store a gas oil mixture, which some lawn and garden tools require, you should note that on the can with a permanent marker. I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. A My Social Security account allows you to access your earnings history and benefits information, request a replacement Social Security card, get a proof of income letter, estimate and apply for benefits, and more. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security. Securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Celebrating our First Amendment every day.
We can't have a First Amendment right, and then people be afraid to use it.
News Radio 1100, KNZZ.
Good morning, and welcome to Food for Thought with Dixie Burmeister. And now, here's Dixie.
And I am here with my special guest. We've got Mark over there handling the controls. Somebody asked me when they came in, do you handle the controls? I'm surprised Mark isn't just falling on the floor laughing about that one. But so Mark's over there, and I have Dave Casera, who's been on the show numerous times.
A couple of times.
Yeah, you have. And a former chef at Wine Country Inn and former chef at many places. We could probably take the rest of the program, but we won't talk about all that both of you guys have been doing. But you've given us a taste of what... A taste, a little pun there. and we've been talking about our growers, our peaches, the flavor of the peach, the flavor of foods. And when we left you, we had been talking about the fact that, and you brought this up, Dave, and I think you agreed, Matt, is people do not take enough, they're in a hurry sometimes so fast that they eat so fast that in all of those wonderful layers of food that people are learning to do and appreciate, at least appreciate them more, but need to take a little more time to savor the flavor.
Yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, obviously fast food plays a big part in it. You know, people's diet restrictions and different things, mm-hmm. but I think that people just don't savor flavors enough, that when they really do taste something that's just extraordinary, you know, from different cooks and chefs, that they're just, their minds are blown, right? And mm-hmm. and like we were talking about, the whole umami thing, I mean, people just really don't understand what those layers of flavor do for your mm-hmm. for your taste buds. I mean, that's what makes the dish just, you know, delicious and everything that it's supposed to be. So that's one of the things that we try to, you know, show people and teach people, is layering different flavors and using different ingredients to really make those dishes impactful.
Mm-hmm. Dave, do you find that people are sometimes afraid to experiment?
Oh, very much so.
Yeah.
There are people that are just locked into things that they learned many, many years ago, mm-hmm. and they're unwilling to yeah. take the risk of having a failure.
Right, right. And it's okay, isn't it?
It's better than okay.
That's what the meat and potatoes concept, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But the number of times I've been satisfied with what I've done in mm-hmm. a restaurant setting mm-hmm. is from, I don't have time to worry about failure. I just need to do it.
Exactly.
Put your neck on the line, stick your, lay your head on the chopping block,
yes.
and go for it. And, you know, if you're doing something at home, mm-hmm. what's the worst case situation? Oh, I got to order pizza tonight because
there you go. There you go.
Okay. You know,
right.
do that.
Have yeah,
fun
isn't
with it.
A recipe, isn't a recipe, Matt, kind of like a guide that you can, especially if it's not a baked goods, because sometimes it's a little tricky there. A little more chemistry, a little more taking a chance, but I've done that too, and I've had definite failures that Fred said were interesting. That's his word. But it's they want a recipe and they think they have to follow it.
Yeah.
Specifically. And I bet you have discovered new things by following a recipe.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I like to kind of put my own spin on certain things, you know, but you're right. It is, a recipe is kind of a guide, right? I mean, and you could look at the recipe and say, oh, I don't know. I don't really like that flavor, or, you know, and you substitute something different for it. Like, you know, instead of mangoes in a salsa, you substitute peaches in a salsa or something, you know, just and it may not turn out great, but, you know, all you try it and it may be something awesome.
Yeah.
You know, so it's always good to take the risk, especially with food, because you may find something that you absolutely mm-hmm. just love.
Do you guys, either one of you, have something in mind that you did try that was really out of the box, and that it turned out that, I mean, it was a hit right away? I know you're thinking. I'll give you an example of what I did. I had heard years ago that adding canned pumpkin, which everybody knows I love pumpkin and my season is coming, but to like a roast, to the drippings of the roast. And so I thought, I'm going to try, but I wouldn't dare tell Fred, because immediately in his mind it wouldn't be, because he likes pumpkin pie, a little pumpkin pie with a lot of whipped cream. But I like pumpkin, not necessarily though in a coffee drink. I'm not one of those, but I love pumpkin. And so I, you know, very to the side so he couldn't see when he walked in the kitchen that I had a can of pumpkin puree open there. And I don't work for Libby's, but it is my favorite. I mean, I just... I get very uncomfortable if I don't have a couple cans in the cupboard. But I added that to this roast that I was doing in the crock pot, and I browned the roast first and everything, and then I added some of that. And I didn't go overboard, you know, probably a half a can of the regular size can, not that big one, and not the one that's a pumpkin pie mix, but just the pureed pumpkin. And at dinner, he goes, oh, this is such a rich gravy with this. This sauce is so good. He goes, what did you do different? And so then the question was, do I tell him or do I not? And I said, well, I added pumpkin puree. Pumpkin puree, I didn't taste it. Well, Fred, I didn't add a pumpkin pie. I add puree pumpkin. So that's one of mine. And I know you guys do so many things unusual that people go, who would have ever thought? So have you thought of one of those as I've shared mine?
Not so much specifically, but to restate the umami bomb, the flavor bomb,
right,
and the peach, the pumpkin. It's a flavor that you add in the correct amount so that it gives that mystery, and you have to savor it and go, what is that?
Yes.
If you had added the whole can and it came across as your roast was sitting on top of a slice of pumpkin pie,
right.
It wouldn't have tasted as
no,
well.
No, no.
But by having the correct amount in buried in the layers of the flavor, it's like, okay, something's going on here. What is it? And all of a sudden, all of the surrounding flavors get highlighted individually. Tasting a glass of wine is the same thing. You take a sip and it kind of explore in your mind, okay, do I taste chocolate? Do I taste tobacco? Do I taste leather? Do I taste?
There you go. Yeah.
And it's the same thing with food. And the peach is a good item to use in that regard. You can bury it in.
Yes.
In several layers.
In fact, it's very interesting because sometimes people go, well, I don't see any peach in that. Then after they eat it and they savor the flavor and they go, something is adding such a wonderful touch and flavor and feel, and it will be the peach.
It will be.
It will be the peach, won't it?
Yeah.
Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree with Dave. I mean, the thing is I don't have one specific dish. I have, you know, just
many that you guys.
Many,
I think
yeah,
that's
many,
it, you
many
guys.
Memories, and I think for me. You know, because my concentration in school back in the day, long time ago, was sauces, right? So it was all about the sauce. And you see so many places now that, you know, it's just drench the dish in sauces.
Oh, yeah.
And so for me, it's about, you know, keeping the sauce to the fullest flavor, you know, following whatever I think the flavor should be, you know, or what it should pair with the dish, and then making sure it's just a minimal amount of sauce, but that flavor is accentuates the rest of the dish, right? So, I mean, a sauce is supposed to be this elegant, sexy part of your dish.
Yeah.
And so, you know, being able to, like Dave said, add the peach to some of these dishes just, you know, really takes it to a whole nother level. You know, when you're, especially when you're using fruit, because so many different fruits have different flavors and textures and things like that, depending on the dish that you do.
Learning a lot here, and I would rather imagine some of our listeners are going, oh yeah, I get it. I think I get it. You know, that peach dish I had, I wondered, you know, why I didn't just, the peach didn't just stick out, but it was adding to that flavor. Those layers of flavors. And I have a feeling that's what we're going to experience with, well, you two, as well as our other chefs. They're all in agreement. And we're going to ask you if you can kind of give us a hint, but don't tell us exactly what layers of flavors you will be using in your dish. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
My daughter is Marina. Marina has a rare form of children's eye cancer, retinoblastoma. Her doctor sent us to a specialist, and then the specialist sent us to St. Jude. Within the first couple weeks of us getting here, I was just so scared. Like, I think the reality just hit me, and it kind of hit me all at once. I had started to cry, and her doctor came in, Dr. Brennan came in, and just didn't even say anything, sat down beside me, and like hugged me and held me while I like was literally sobbing. And she just said, it's gonna be okay. We don't have to worry anymore. The treatment worked and we've saved her eye. This place has been such a blessing for us. There's no way you could have paid for treatment back home if we had to.
We can come here and we can just solely focus on taking care of her and helping her heal.
Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
What is hope? Hope to me was just that he would get to come home. I had no idea how hard it would be once he got back.
I wish she'd stop drinking so much. She thinks it's helping, but it's not. I hope she sees that soon.
I act like I don't care if he comes to my games. But I hope he does.
I used to hope he'd find happiness again. Now I hope our marriage makes it.
I hope Grandpa will get help. He thinks it's too late, but it's not.
With everything that he's going through, I hope he sees a counselor. I just want my brother back.
I hoped he'd get help. Stop hoping things would get better on their own. He told me to stop asking. I didn't. Then one day he asked for a ride.
Hope is knowing there are other families just like yours, that the veterans they love got help and recovered. Go to maketheconnection.net and turn hope into action.
I'm a veteran. We hit a mine in Vietnam. When I came home, I didn't know where to turn.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
My victory's been never giving up hope. My wife is always there to remind me we have a life to live.
DAV provides a lifetime of support, helping veterans of every generation get the benefits they've earned.
I am a veteran, but after I got out, I spent 2 years alone and homeless.
Every year, DAV helps more than 1 million veterans so they can reach victories great and small.
My victory was finding the support to get back on my feet. Now I'm getting things right with my family.
I finally admitted, with my PTSD, I wasn't doing well.
But there's more to be done and more victories to be won.
Now I wish I'd found DAV sooner. I am a veteran. My victory is just enjoying each day.
Help support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
The killing of a country.
This is a racist ideology.
From within.
That is a front for American Marxism.
Mark Levin. Weekday afternoons at 4. KNCZ.
Good morning and welcome to Food for Thought with Dixie Burmeister. And now, here's Dixie.
Of course, I'm back with a couple great chefs here. If you've been listening, we've been having a lot of fun and kind of quizzing them on things such as flavor and incorporating the peach and all kinds of interesting things about eating, savoring flavors and learning about those flavors. And we were just talking on the break about oversaucing things, because have you ever been out someplace and served a fabulous meal and you go, gosh, I wish they would have put more sauce on that. And a lot of times, if you ask for more sauce and put it on, it destroys the flavor that you were enjoying. And these guys shake their head, yes, because, well, it's because I'm actually agreeing with them and telling you what they've said. But Matt Tezak and Dave Casera, well-known in the Valley, both chefs at Peach Cuisine. Dave will be Friday. As people will be coming, bringing chairs for the music and everything, and that right there is the Peach Cuisine tent, and you know. Well, we have people that actually say they come over from Denver and from around for Peach Cuisine. They love to see and experience what every chef creates, and they get the recipes, and they get to ask questions, and they get to know these guys, because you guys all have, you know, stories to tell and experiences that in your culinary careers that you have experienced, and probably could write books about it as well. I even could write a book about some of mine too that that would include, especially probably you, Dave, but how I steal your leftover marinade and things like that. But
well, that's a good thing.
But it's a good thing. So
it's a wonderful thing.
So, what are you considering about, you know, about your dish, Dave? I think you're going to do a sweet and savory, a sweet one and a savory, and I'm not sure, but kind of. I mean, can you give us a little hint without telling us? Isn't that crazy to ask someone?
Well, sure, but that's okay. And I can be a little crazy in my answer and say, well, come and see Pear Blossom Farms on August 7th. And you might get, you know, because we're...
But that dish won't be served there.
Correct.
No, good.
But we will be doing 5-6 different items up there.
Very
all
good.
Featuring Pear Blossom Farms peach-based products.
Mm-hmm.
Peach syrup, peach preserves, peach salsa, peach jalapeno dad's peach jalapeno sauce.
I love that.
That is a wonderful combination.
On sweet everything.
Savory, on everything.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. It's so good.
You'll probably find a hint of what'll happen.
So that's a good hint. And their peaches and produce, no doubt, will be in your dish.
Definitely.
Yeah. Was that kind of a ridiculous question?
Well, you know, they grow most of their own product.
They do.
But
they
source most everything here in the valley.
See, that's it. If it's not grown there, it's sourced here. Yeah. So that all comes together. Matt, a little hint.
Okay, so obviously, you know, everybody hears hunting come out of my mouth all the time. And know from August to December, I'm hunting. So all I'm going to say is it's wild game.
Okay.
and sweet and savory. So. Yeah.
See, we were talking about sweet and savory. Now, it used to be, what's your favorite peach dish? Oh, pie or cobbler. Oh, of course, everyone's favorite, ultimate favorite, is to pick the peach off the tree and eat it. And experience that juice coming down your arm and that wonderful flavor. And you go, this is a Palisade peach. This is what a Palisade peach should be. And we're going to have a lot of peaches from what I hear. And so since you're from Pear Blossom, what do you hear?
I hear that it's going to be a good year,
mm-hmm.
That flavors are developing really well,
mm-hmm.
And the quantity will be alongside of it. So, it should be a very good year.
Now, is there an orchard that you specifically use, Matt, to get your peaches for the peach dish?
No, I actually kind of try to support everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of whoever is out in Fruta at the farmer's market.
There you go.
I do buy the majority of my stuff from Maria's, but, I kind of support everybody. It's local, so try to share the love.
You know what? And we all do that, don't we? We do share the love in this valley. Will you suggest a wine to pair or... with your dishes, because they're looking at me now.
That's an easy one for me.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of my favorite wines, and I'll stay local just because we're talking local, but is Col Terrace, the Sauvignon Blanc. They also have a white blend that's a Chardonnay, Chardonnay Sauvignon Blanc blend that would pair great with my dish. I mean, you could do a Pinot with it too, but I would try to stay white just because it's going to mm-hmm. be 9,000 mm-hmm. degrees outside and refreshing.
Yes. How about you, Dave?
Well, I actually haven't gotten that far in the development.
You are one of our chefs that's being put on the line. And of course, I have to have that recipe by Monday or Tuesday because we have to send the cards to the printer just to throw a little extra motivation in there.
But I definitely will be staying with a local.
Of course you will.
We have wonderful vineyards here in the valley, and the number has grown exponentially
few
years, to the point where I haven't tried anywhere near enough of them yet, mm-hmm. Right. And I'm looking forward to developing my palate at other vineyards and wineries. So
I understand that. Now, I know someone at one of the TV stations that the manager there, she she freezes peach slices. Doesn't peel the peaches. See, I just wash them. I if I have to peel them for something, like maybe a pie. But what about you guys? Do you both like to eat them without? There's not much fuzz anyway. And once you wash it off.
I grew up eating peaches not peeled.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my grandma, she would buy bushels of peaches all every year, and I was always just slice them and open them up and eat them
same here
right that way. I mean,
and in salsas and that, yep, I just leave it on.
It to me, it all depends on the end dish.
Right,
and
of
the
course.
Texture you're
of
looking
course.
For. Yeah. Flavor-wise, yeah. Either way, I don't care.
Yeah, either way.
Give me a
and
piece.
If I have to peel them, I'm eating the skin, which they're so good anyway. So, and peach salsa, question. Tomatoes in that or not?
Your choice.
Your choice.
Just make sure that the tomatoes complement
the peach.
Or the peach complements right. the tomato.
What about you?
I say yes, but so for me, it's a texture thing. So mm-hmm. the peach is going to be softer, and I think the tomato needs to be a little more, a little less ripe and a little harder.
Gotcha. Well, my peach salsa, I'm making homemade tomato salsa tonight. No peaches in it. I don't combine the two. I like the peaches. But thanks, Matt and Dave. Matt on Friday night at the festival. Dave on Friday night at the festival. Matt on Saturday. Look for the schedule, palisadepeachfest.com.